But you can be the age you are. You can look after yourself. You can delay signs of aging. But the other thing is, you can feel so good about yourself, about looking after yourself. So you can't separate the way you think, where you live, from the way you look. So skin and health, lifestyle, are absolutely related to each other. And it is important that you take cognizance of that. I am going to love my skin, regardless of pimples, breakouts, dryness. I'm going to love it because it's part of me. Loving yourself and being good to yourself, caring yourself, is the way to be.
If you don't take care of it, it won't take care of you. So it's very important to have that in mind.
So it's a privilege to be old because we didn't die young. I think beauty is something that you need to change in your mindset. There's beauty about everything. An old tree is beautiful, just like a young tree is beautiful.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Visit our website activeaction.fm for more information and to explore all episodes. Don't forget to check our merchandise for exciting goodies at activeaction.shop. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
Hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Active Action Podcast. It's me, your host, Dr. Nazif, back again with another awesome episode by which we will try to inspire you to stay active and take action that we usually do with all our episodes. We have wonderful guests today. Before delving into that, just wanted to let you guys know that we did start our premium supporters program, where if you become a premium supporter, you will get access to strategic guides and actionable articles prepared by our expert consultants on personal and professional development. So if you want to access that, that will be www.activeaction.fm/supporter. Apart from that, we did start our own Active Action merchandise, where we have a quality clothing line and other goodies. So if you do want to check those out, feel free to visit activeaction.shop. Apart from that, welcome back to another episode. And today we will be talking about health, mental health, and especially our skin. And we have a wonderful, knowledgeable guest with us. And without further ado, I would like to introduce to you with Dr. Fernanda. So Dr. Fernanda, she's a scientist, artist, a Reiki master who blends science and soul in everything she does. Born in Lisbon and later living in South Africa and New Zealand, she holds a PhD degree in medical molecular biology, a master's in zoology, and a master of entrepreneurship. In 2010, she launched Azureless, a natural skincare brand rooted in simplicity, sustainability, and self-care. With a deep belief in cruelty-free beauty and holistic well-being, Fernanda is passionate about helping others live healthier, more conscious lives, both inside and out. So thank you so much, Dr. Fernanda, for joining in this episode of Active Action Podcast. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, great. And thank you, Dr. Nazif, for the opportunity to talk to your audience and to share some of the things that are important, I think, to both of us and hopefully to many people as well.
Thank you. We are very excited to learn from you. And as you can see your audiences, today's episode I've named Skin Health and Lifestyle because we're going to talk everything about these three things. But before jumping into that, Dr. Fernanda, would you like to introduce yourself a bit to our audience apart from what I say?
Right. So I'm raised in Portugal. My dad was an engineer and he traveled with his company all over the world to go from one building site to another. And that's how I ended up in South Africa. So it wasn't sort of planned. And I ended up doing my tertiary education largely in South Africa and doing my research there, middle of my time there in the 80s, where I thought of developing a company or developing a brand of skincare that focused on good, healthy ingredients, natural ingredients, avoiding so many of the technologically sophisticated forms of ingredients which were being developed at the time. And because I was feeling that it's a great initiative, but surely we can do just as well with natural stuff. I didn't at the time. So this was in the sort of 80s, largely because I felt very constrained that in South Africa, there were so many socio-political issues. There was malnutrition. Kwashioko was quite common in kids. And I felt that I was being very selfish, wanting to focus on developing a skin based on skincare when there's so many people that didn't have food to eat. So I continued my research at the time on which was on tuberculosis, as well as on the focus of how the immune system coped with pathogens such as TB and other pathogens. And that led to an invitation to come to New Zealand to work on pathogen, not TB, it was Listeria monocytogenes, but it was from a different kind of aspect, just based on the sort of background knowledge that I acquired over the years. So we're still sort of talking bacteria and sort of being involved, stimulating the immune system. And then I got involved in biotechnology. And the biotechnology company I was part of was focused on identifying markers for cancer to develop diagnostic tools so you could pick up the cancers, the malignancies at a much earlier stage. And I did that for a few years, but I still got constrained that I wanted to do my own company. Being in New Zealand was quite interesting because I didn't have the heaviness that was associated with being in South Africa. And in fact, before I left South Africa, Mandela was released and South Africa went through a major change and is still going through major changes. There's lots still to be done. But in New Zealand, I felt less constrained and less selfish about starting the skincare company. And by this stage, I had accumulated a slightly different spin on the benefits of skincare. It was becoming quite evident that looking after our skin is not just important for a cosmetic reason, but because it's part of who we are. It makes you feel good. I became a Reiki master, so became very aware of what it's like to feel good, to love oneself, to be able to love others and do the best we can, as well as the fact that our skin being the biggest organ, no question has an important, very important function in protecting our bodies from all sorts of environmental as well as pathological events. That's the fact that there's such a relationship between the way we think and the way we live and the way we look after ourselves, that diseases are not just because there's a pathology. The reason why there's a pathology, it's a complicated scenario that is all about who we are and how we live. And so it became much more important for me to launch the company. But now having launched the company, it's trying to convince people not to use topical products, skincare products, just because you want to look 20 years younger, which is rubbish because you can't. That's just silly. But you can be the age you are. You can look after yourself. You can delay signs of aging. But the other thing is you can feel so good about yourself, about looking after yourself. Your skin feels so good that in effect, you look better. And in looking better, you feel better. And people look at you and they say, oh, hi, how are you? You're looking so good. And how do you feel? You feel good. If someone says to you, oh, you look terrible, how are you going to feel? You're going to feel terrible. This is all the sort of ethos, the philosophy behind. And the other thing is, as you've said in your summary, I really felt it was important to use botanical ingredients, largely because
right.
I don't believe in killing animals to survive. But that's my philosophy. I know other people have different views, but I still stick to using botanical ingredients. And the other thing is, botanical ingredients have been used for thousands of years by civilizations, you know, like Ayurvedic medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, and other forms of Hinduistic form of medicine were based on using botanical elements very successfully. They just didn't know how they worked because they didn't have the knowledge we have today. That's a different story.
Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction and letting our audiences know a bit of your background and your thoughts so that it would really help them to coordinate as we progress through the podcast and the many different topics we're going to talk about today about skin, health, and lifestyle. Just to begin, Dr. Fernanda, I wanted to ask you, how do lifestyle, diet, and stress affect our health, including skin health?
Okay, so as I mentioned, we're sort of all connected. Trying to make it simple and see it in the form of a triangle. We have our brain. Our brain that has various parts, as you know, being a medical doctor. And we have a little part of the brain called the hypothalamus. And then we have an even smaller part, the pituitary. And when we are stressed, these parts of our brain sort of start getting a little bit agitated. And they send messages which go in our circulation, in our bloodstream. And these little messages go past an area above the kidneys called the adrenals. And these glands produce cortisol. So here we are, you're stressed in your brain, but in the further, you know, in the faraway part of your body, in the top of your kidneys, these adrenals are pushing cortisol out. And cortisols are these stress molecules that kind of raise your blood pressure and they make sure that adrenaline is flowing well. So you feel tense. People largely don't know is that these cortisols floating around, they get to our skin and they stimulate a layer of cells in the sort of dermis to produce cortisols as well. So now our immune system and us are producing cortisol. So in this frenetic state, we are not well. If we're not well, we don't feel well. What happens is that we use up so much energy for our immune system to kind of cope with what's happening, this stress, that we divert attention from other areas where the immune system needs to keep ongoing monitoring. So if you sustain a constant level of stress, your immune system is going to feel weaker and is going to allow certain things to slip through because it's, you know, they can't be doing well everywhere. If your lifestyle is such that you're continuously on the edge, you have long hours and you're feeling unhappy in the way in which you're working. So you kind of start getting a melting point, a melting pot. And what happens is that the more stressed you are, the more you release these molecules. And the more you stress, it's like a corkscrew. Now, take the other scenario. If you take the time to relax, the word of your podcast is very timely for the kinds of messages that I'm trying to put across. So if you actively take cognizance that you are in a very stressed point, stop and start breathing deeply and slowly, but breathe from your groin. Most of us, when we are stressed, we breathe from the top of our shoulders, you know, so we, the top of our lungs kind of get hiked up. So just stop and breathe slow and long breaths. And that helps the brain to shift mode. It's like you're shifting a gear in the car. You manually have to push the gear lever into a different position. And now the brain is getting signals that's okay, maybe we can do something else that is different. And gradually, instead of sending out these pituitary molecules that go to the adrenals, you start releasing endorphins as well. Endorphins are natural opiates which compensate for the stressful levels. So if you can sustain that point of calmness, that point of being at one with whatever is happening with you, just accepting it and loving it, and I'll come to the love in a minute for something else, your brain relaxes. And even if your lifestyle is crazy, you are able to be more sensible or logical at dealing with whatever trauma is happening around you. So, and your skin is your manifestation, because what happens if you're stressed? Often you break out with acne. Sometimes you get a funny sort of uncomfortable feeling. You feel like scratching your skin and you can't really understand why. And, you know, that there's also another very important relationship is that the skin on our cells are etymologically, evolutionarily related to those of our guts, because that's how the embryo, when the sperm and the egg get together to form an egg, and how the egg then evolves, the skin on the outside and the gut inside are from the same form of epithelium. It's just sort of an inversion of the egg, which forms a kind of a gastrulin in the little bag inside. So the skin outside goes inside to form the lining of the gut. And so what happens, whatever happens in your brain that is making you tense or calm, through a very long nerve called the vagus nerve, there's communication between the brain and the gut. So what you feel on your gut, you feel on your skin and vice versa. So you can't separate the way you think, where you live, from the way you look. So skin and health, lifestyle, are absolutely related to each other. And it is important that you take cognizance of that. It's like you wake up in the morning and you choose, I'm going to choose to be angry and resentful. And I don't like anyone. I hate everyone. Everyone hates me. Or you choose, I'm going to feel good. I'm going to enjoy. I'm away. There's sun outside. There's rain outside. I'm feeling good. So which one do you want to be?
Indeed.
You have to take active action. It's fitting.
For sure. Thank you so much for very wonderfully connecting that, Dr. Fernanda. And actually, that brought to me to my second question, and kind of you were answering that as you're going, that why skincare is very important to feel great and stay healthy. I really feel like it's all interconnected, and usually the audiences and the listeners, the mass people, wouldn't feel like how my skin would affect my mental health or how my skin would affect my health at all. There is like deep connection that usually we don't foresee or we don't understand clearly sometimes, but it's very helpful to understand the connections between them. So why skincare is key to feeling great and staying healthy?
Yes. And this is where the love component comes about. And you know this, when you were a teenager, remember how important it was to look good, you know, and you always felt, you always felt that somebody else looked better than you, because it's just how teenagers feel. And nowadays, if we think of social media the way it is, social media creates these idols that we look to because they look phenomenal, and everyone thinks that they look just like they look on camera. I can assure you, when they wake up in the morning, they look as bad or as good as we do. They're able to put all sorts of makeup and stretch themselves, then pump themselves up to feel good. And we think that they're born like that. They're not. They're born like everybody else. So why skin is important is because, first of all, as I've said, it is connected to the gut. It's connected to everything in our body, because none of our organs are separated. They're all stacked on top of each other. And they, you know, there's communications, whether the communication is via these signaling molecules that go, say, for instance, as I was talking, from the pituitary to the adrenal or to anybody, to anywhere else, they're all pass through the bloodstream, but there's also communication between one cell and another adjacent cells. So there's right. all these molecules that continuously pass through, and it's like crosstalk. So you can't say something on my skin is very far away from my gut or my lungs. No, not at all. It's actually doesn't take very long at all. In fact, there is scientific evidence to show that it takes 26 seconds from something that you apply on your skin to be absorbed. Right around the body. 26 seconds. That's
wow.
That's fast.
That's fascinating. That, yeah.
It's very fast. And that is because, of course, our skin is a barrier, but as you know, it's a semi-permeable barrier. If it was a full barrier, we wouldn't be able to breathe, but right. it's a semi-permeable barrier. So it takes up water. It loses water. It takes up oils and it pushes out its own oils from the sebaceous glands, which when they get affected by the microbiome on our skin, this microbiome then gets encapsulated in the pores leading up to the glands. The glands are a little bit excited. The microorganisms now are inside a little prison, and they are normally they would be aerobic microbes. Now they become aerobic. They can live without oxygen or little oxygen, and they start becoming like little naughty kids. And that's how you get the breakup. Mm-hmm. There's one sort of component why the skin is important as a semi-permeable barrier. It's working one way and the other. I'll come back to this in a minute, but just to carry on another aspect, your skin is also innervated. So it's got little nerve endings all over. That's how you can feel pain. Otherwise, you wouldn't. In as much as you feel pain because you bumped your arm against something and it's hurt you, you can also enjoy the fact that you're looking after your skin. And this is a very important point, the function of why we should look after our skin. So if your skin is dry, it feels scaly or off and uncomfortable. If you put some a cream or an ointment or a lotion or an oil to soften it, you're going to be doing it gently as if, and I mean this, as if you are making love to your skin. You very gently make sure that you treat your skin with love. And if you massage it gently, whatever you put on your skin is absorbed more efficiently than if you rub. I see this regularly. People have something that, you know, they have some irritation and they put a cream and they rub it. The more they rub, the more they are irritating the skin because they stimulate the little capillaries to get warmer and more blood comes to the top. So now you're irritating it further. So what you want to do is make love to your skin, you know, really glide your hand. That has a positive effect in making you feel good. Because it's touch. Human beings are social beings. We need touch. In fact, that really goes for most mammals, really. You'll notice if it's other primates, they have different lifestyles. But the infants still feel they need to hug the moms or the other family members. And even with birds, there's some sort of association of the birds having to feel proximity to the parents, even though it may be a different form of relationship. So we're very dependent on having good touch. Of course, if you hurt yourself, the nerve endings on your skin are there to say, hello, wake up. You know, you've done something wrong to yourself. You've got to go and look after it. Right. So very important to have that relationship. The other thing is, so coming back to the microbiome on our skin, our skin has a layer of bacteria and yeasts and anything else that we pick up from the environment, which largely remain in a kind of a symbiotic, very happy relationship most of the time. Every now and then, things go wrong. So you cut yourself. And of course, you can get infected, not just because of what was in the environment, but, you know, some of the microbes on your skin will probably get in and we get a nice little soup of something. So you have to disinfect it and sew it up, stitch it up, and you're back again on normal. But the skin is relying on two things, that the microbe layers acting in a kind of a happy approach with our skin cells, and that the pH of our skin is the right pH for the microbiome, and it needs to be the right pH for another reason too. So the skin is actually fostering the environment to be ideal for the microbiome to be on the skin, because it's this microbiome that sends messages, just like the cells send messages to each other to say, we are okay, but you need to produce a little bit more oil so that there is a barrier of oil on the skin to make sure that the skin isn't fully dried out. If the skin is too dried out, this is the irony of the whole thing. You have the top layer of skin, which needs to be sloughed off, but it can't. It can't because the enzymes that cut off the old cells from the layer immediately below can't work without water. So fully dehydrated, what do you get? You get very dry skin that forms that can't come out. So you need to drink lots of water. So the water from inside comes all the way out, but you need to keep adding lots of water. And you need to maintain the environment that enables the microorganisms to stimulate the dermal cells just enough so that the glands produce what's necessary without excess. So if you, for instance, you have breakout in a common, say, teenager getting around the chin, and you go in very harsh detergent to get rid of all these horrible things that are on your skin, what happens is that you're sending a signal down to the glands, and the cells kind of pick up, oh, there's no oils on top. Oh, we've got to produce some more. So guess what happens? It becomes more oily. What you should be doing is make sure that the skin is always cleansed, always properly looked after, but put a layer of a protective cream that provides a support mechanism to ensure that you're not losing water, you're not losing oil, that the bugs that are on top, you know, the microbiome is... So you are coming to a form of an equilibrium. And this is all about balancing life one way and another. Sometimes we have a little bit more or less, but we need to have these sort of small steps. You don't want to have peaks and troughs that are huge. You want to have just little waves. If you understand this, and if you consciously, actively say to yourself, I am going to love my skin, regardless of breakouts, dryness. I'm going to love it because it's part of me. I love it. So the very fact that you've taken cognizance to say the word love, by the way, is associated with the release of oxytocin, which is the caring hormone, the hormone that leads females to initiate lactation, breastfeeding of babies. The fact that we now have oxytocin flowing and we have endorphins flowing, you feel better. And in feeling better, you are helping your own body to manage the acne condition or the drying condition that you have.
Okay.
And anything else that is wrong, of course, it won't be instant. This is not a magic trick. We don't have one goes, bing, gone. No, we don't. It takes time, but everything takes time. And why shouldn't it take time? Don't give up, you know, because, oh, I need to go to a party and I have a pimple in my nose. Okay. Do what you can to kind of cover up the pimple on your nose.
Right.
You know, It's my decoration. Maybe paint a little flower around it. So it actually, you know, you have a decoration on your nose.
With someone. That's right.
I'm being silly, if you see what
that's
I mean.
That's a wonderful idea. I like that, Dr. Fernanda.
Just make it fun so you don't feel belittled. Because what, and as you know, we've seen this in the Western world, and you probably can see the differences having come from Bangladesh. There's so many kids in our Western world that are entering this game of bullying, and kids committing suicide because they're bullied. That's terrible. That is terrible. Yeah. They feel belittled because they feel uglier than others, and someone targets them. That is so sad. Look, one of the things I would love to be able to do, and that is part of a sort of a future dream of mine. It's got nothing to do with skincare, but I'd love to have the means to create a foundation to encourage kids to learn from early on that loving yourself and being good to yourself, caring yourself, is the way to be. And there's so many kids all over the world. I don't care. Kids are kids. Whether you come from a very deprived background or very wealthy one, kids are kids. We shouldn't be not having enough to eat or not being able to go to school or having to work because they have to help the family. I understand, but let them be kids as well. I'd love to be able to do that. So for me, having developed a skincare product or a variety of products. It's not so much because I don't want people to feel that our products make you feel 20 years younger, look 20 years younger. But I mean, the products will help you to feel like when you wear 10 years or, you know, 15 or whatever, when you felt you were feeling good. And that's what we need. We're all going to die. Why do we need to kill each other unhappy? Just have fun. Enjoy the precious gift that life is. And most of us do have a precious gift. There's horrible wars in the world right now, which breaks my heart. I do wish I had the magic wand to say, bing, and stop the whole lot. I don't. But if I can help people to help each other to feel good and start loving your skin because it's part of your body, it's part of your well-being. If you feel good in your mind, it's what I talk about. You've seen me talking about how the mind is crucial for the body set. Because we talk about mindset. We need to have a body set as well.
Sure.
We are together.
I really appreciate that thought, Dr. Fernanda. There are people out there, I feel like there are less people who care about all the body organs and the body, but do take like least care of their skin. It's not a feasible thing to do. And it needs, so people like, I feel like sometimes underappreciate their skin. And that may be due to the lack of understanding how important this body organ of it's yours. Because it's not only like representing you, it's a protecting layer, right? It's protecting you from the environment. When you're outside, you're getting direct exposure to sunlight. You're getting direct exposure to the environment. And it's protecting you first and foremost, your organs and everything from the outside environment and contact. So it's natural that your skin or the skin that will, as it's protecting you, it will have friction with the environment. It will have friction with the air. So if you don't take care of it, it won't take care of you. So it's very important to have that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and the thing is, when that becomes part of you, your friends and your kids will see it as well, your family. And it becomes almost like people learn from you by diffusion. You see what I mean? You don't have to tell them. It just becomes apparent. Oh, how come you look so good? I always look after myself. You don't have to have fancy clothes. You don't have to live in a fancy place. But you need to be sensible about everything that you do, simple things. And don't harm the environment, because that was another thing. We don't want to be using resources in the environment, like making sure that the Amazon forests are devastated just because we want a special ingredient for us. Be sensible. And the other thing is very important. I think you've seen this in some of my writing. Using less is more. So the reason why for years and years we've been faced with this kind of guidance, splash it on, use lots, splash it on. It's not so much because skin needs lots of product. It just needs the rate at which it can absorb, which sometimes is not very much, but needs to be done every day. But the reason why the companies tend to say splash it on is because they sell more. If they sell more, the companies have more sales. It's a commercial decision. But hey, you can take action. You can be active and decide, I only need this much. I use it every day. That's all I need. And it lasts me longer than wasting it. What's the point of wasting? So we waste bottles. We waste other containers. We waste all the ingredients. And then we have to do it all over again. That's so silly. It's so silly. Does not make any sense at all. And I say this from the scientific point of view, from the biological point of view, from the health point of view, from the environmental point of view, and from the economic point of view. You can't sustain an economy that keeps growing and growing and growing. It's going to implode.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you so much, Dr. Fernanda, for sharing those wonderful words of wisdom. And that is what I meant by words of wisdom, dear listeners, when we first started this podcast. I hope that you're understanding the value of what your skin brings to you and what that actually would mean and how you should take care of that. As like Dr. Fernanda made the point, by not disrupting the nature, by not being resource intensive, we talk about having botanical ingredients for skincare. And there is a reason for that. Speaking of the elements that are very helpful for our skin and health as well, can I ask you which nutrients, ingredients, and approaches do you feel are really essential for health, body, and mind from your experience and perspective?
Okay, so a balanced diet is a no-brainer. And when a balanced diet is a diet that has enough water, it has the ingredients that are, say, from a vegetarian point of view, in the, just put a few things out, you need to have good greens, you know, so your carbohydrates are good, but you have enough roughage, you have enough protein, and the protein will come in the form of some of the vegetables that we have protein, and some foods have protein as well. So how you combine them, how we add the fats that will come from nuts and seeds. I know some people are allergic to nuts, so we have to be careful with nuts as well, of course. And, you know, how you use, you know, like, for instance, if we go more towards the, you know, not so much from a vegan diet, but from a vegetarian diet, where people do use some dairy products and some eggs, those are very important. For people that just have vegan ingredients, they have to make sure that they get enough protein to compensate for the fact that plant-based diets will have less protein. So you have to make sure you are enriching that. And all your greens, all your fruits, make sure that your fruits, you have a balance of the citric fruits like the berries, as well as the fruits that have other sources of proteins and carbohydrates. It could be the pawpaws, the mangoes, the apples, the bananas. But the whole point is to have a balanced diet. So it's a mixture. And try and have those vegetables, fruits, oils that are in season. Nowadays, I suppose, in the world, you can buy things all year round. But if you are in an area that doesn't, in the sort of winter time, you have a certain type of fruits and vegetables. So eat those because they will have the maximum nutrition at the time. When you eat those in another season, they've been stored under refrigerated conditions, low carbon dioxide, and often the active ingredients become less active, you know, they'll sort of go a little bit old and they won't be quite as important in terms of nutrition or antioxidants. So if you eat what's in season, that helps you. And the same thing goes for skin. So for skincare products, instead of having the synthetic ingredients that are very controlled, very well made, you could have a mixture of your oil blends, which are the macadamia nuts, the coconut, rich oil, the flaxseed oil, the jojoba. All these oils have different fatty acids, and these fatty acids provide a form of nutrition for our skin. Some that are more similar to the oils on our skin. Others are absorbed into the skin and circulate in the body that are helpful for general nutrition. And then the other things that you need to consider, that, you know, everyone needs to recognize not everyone can eat the same thing. So if there's something that upsets your stomach, then don't eat it. You know, because if it upsets your stomach, it will show in your skin anyway. And that's still for sure. And if it's something that you put on your skin that doesn't agree with you because it's got a reaction, you should stop it as well. So the most important thing is to take cognizance. So, and you do this, you do it almost in a subconscious way, but you need to be conscious. It's like you're not aware that you're breathing, but you are breathing. And I would say don't rush things. Have something in the morning as part of your breakfast, whatever your breakfast routine is. Have something in the middle of the day and something at night. Why do I say that? It's because we use energy during the day. So we need to have a supply energy for our bodies, for our brains to function. Our brains need sugar, and we can only get sugars through the foods that we eat during the day. The skin is the same. The skin will need to be treated in the morning. And largely to be treated at night. If you are very dependent because your skin is so dry, you might have to put something during the day. If you are in the sun, you need to use sunscreen. But one thing that I would be really against is people ask me, can I have one product? I only want one product to put in the day and not used any other time in the day. And I say to them, and how about food? Would you like me to put your breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the blender, your desserts and your fruits, your vegetables, your soups, your meats, your fish, everything. Mm-hmm. We put everything in the blender and I'll just give you a cup in the morning. How about that? Would you like that? And then people get it. So you need to have something to eat a few times during the day, and different cultures do different things. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm not going against any culture. I'm just saying, use the balance, just like you don't just take a breath in the morning and you hold your breath until at night. I mean, that's stupid. No one would think of doing that. So no one would think of putting all their food in the blender and eating in one go. So what's wrong with taking a few minutes? The other thing is to calm yourself. You don't need to do an hour's meditation every day. Right. Now, if you can, that's great. Most of us can't. Even if you use 2, 3, 5 minutes, you're sitting down quietly in between meetings, in between jobs, and just give yourself a sense of deep breaths. Just sit down. That is so important to contribute to this balancing of the brain waves. So if the brain is feeling good, the brain is sending messages all over the place, our muscles feel more relaxed, our gut feels better, our skin looks better. So the long and the short is eat several times a day, look after yourself every day, in the morning, in the evening. It's like you go and have a shower and, you know, you cleanse yourself, breathe normally, and make some time for some thinking spots. Even if you're in the bus, you're sitting in the bus or in the train or you're a passenger in the car, you don't have to talk to everyone. Just having a quiet time. It's very important to finding gaps, to love yourself, because it is about self-love. It's about understanding that you've got to make the choice in everything we do. And if you don't look after yourself, then it's very much like your soul then decides, I don't like this body, I'm going. So then you die.
Right. Thank you so much for Dr. Fernanda so wonderfully explaining that approach, you know, like what is important for us and for our health, for our mind, the nutrients, the ingredients, and how to like take care of that. I really appreciate that. And I'm sure our audiences appreciate those tips. I wanted to talk to you a bit about, as we are talking about skin today, I wanted to ask you this question, if it's okay with you, like genetic makeup versus environmental exposure. What do you understand by both of these, and which do you feel impacts our well-being the most?
This is quite an interesting question, and it's been changing in the last three decades. When we started looking at genes in the 70s and 80s, the thought prevailed that our genetics were the most important component of who we are. And ironically, there were plenty of studies at the time in psychology of nature versus nurture, which one influences you the most. And this sort of big conflictuous battles, people are very fixed in their positions. But what the Human Genome Project has shown, and then subsequent to the Human Genome Project, the fact that we have far fewer genes than we thought we had, and that we end up having a lot more cross-communication between the genes, and we have a lot of variants. What is the current thought nowadays is that the environment we live in can contribute as much as about 25 to 30% of who we become. So the environment we're exposed in or to, we believe our lifestyle is able to change the genes that are expressed and how genes are expressed. Now, this is done through sort of just talking a bit of sort of chemistry. It's done through a process of what is called acetylation and deacetylation. So they're proteins that look after the genes in our chromatin, and those proteins get tagged with certain groups. And if the groups are the acetyl groups, they become active, and they say, okay, then we are going to be turning on gene XYZ. And if they were deacetylated, where those tags are cut off, we're going to switch these genes off. The interesting evidence nowadays is that some of those changes can actually be passed genetically. So the way we live our lives can actually be imparting consequences to future generations. Whereas we used to think that it was only the genes that came from our parents, from their parents, that are being passed. But it appears that there is a substantial component of changes in our genome. This is called epigenetics. So the environment is affecting, genes are expressed. So it's not so much genes in the genome, but it's how the genes are expressed. Not every gene is active all the time in the same way. We have variants, and the genes are made of little blocks. And how these little blocks are combined to make whatever protein they're supposed to, really can be affected by the environment. And if you recall, I'm sure our audience would have heard, for many years we talked about junk DNA. There's all this junk DNA that's not doing anything. Actually, the junk DNA is doing a lot of very good stuff. So they're actually regulatory components of the genes, and they impart the way in which a gene block set is put together that makes you who you are versus myself. So, for instance, in our case, the development of melanin, the melanin in your skin, the expression of the melanin in your skin is very different from mine because it's obviously being affected by the environment where people came from. If you come from zones that are predominantly more flooded with sunshine, it makes more sense to have more melanin. If you come from areas where sunshine is not so prevalent, then the cells are less pigmented. And the
right.
we pay is that because you have less sun, you also have less production of vitamin D. So you have to make sure you supplement your diet with yes. vitamin D in those areas that have less sun. Mm-hmm. Whereas people that are in sunny areas don't have to worry about it. Let's put it this way. Maybe 50% of who you are is part of your genetic makeup right. as your grandparents, great-grandparents passed on to you. But at least 25 to 30% is modifiable. And I think this is what we have seen over the last five decades. In fact, there was a very interesting study that followed Dutch people during the war. They suffered immensely because there wasn't enough food. When Holland was occupied by the Nazis, they restricted food intake so much that there was famine. The children of those that had famine still today have got mental issues and health issues that are not seen in other parts of the world. They were really attributed to that limited calorific intake during the war because of famine.
Very interesting. I didn't know that.
So it's, and that's 70 years ago, not just physiological, these are in mental issues. This, the particular mm-hmm. types of mental health issues associated with those that we're subjected to those horrible scenarios. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Dr. Fernanda, for explaining for the benefit of our audience what is like genetic makeup and how both that but also environmental exposure actually affects someone's well-being. I want to ask you one question for my own interest. You talked a bit about melanin on the skin. Many people I have seen are interested to know, does like having more melanin under the skin is beneficial for someone?
Well, it's an interesting question. You know, I don't think it's a case of being beneficial or detrimental. It's just different. So, okay. as you know, everyone is just slightly different. Let's see if I can explain this in a simple way. You and I have genetically, we have the same number of melanin cells in our skin. Number is the same, but like you, because you're slightly darker than I am, means that your cells are producing more melanin more regularly.
Oh, okay.
We all have the same number of melanin cells. So it doesn't mean that you have an extra layer with melanin, but your cells are just producing them in more concentration and more frequently. In my case, if I'm exposed a lot to the sun, I become darker. So my cells kick in. But in your case, your cells are on at a higher level. It's not detrimental. And I don't think it's a case of being beneficial. It's just the way it is. We're just different. Just like some people have got dark hair, others have got a light hair. Some people have got curly hair and others have got straight hair. So it's variations. It's quite interesting that many years ago, this was when I was a kid. So I'm 67. So this is going back way, way back. When I went in primary school, we used to have a very clear concept of races, you know, sort of black versus Asian and, you know, and sort of Indian people and Eskimos, everyone was put into races. Do you know that the genetic codes, the genetic program, you know, sort of showed something that there is no such thing as races. Races are created by people. We're all the same. We are just different forms of each other. So you have, like me, you have 29,000 genes. That's what we have. We thought we had more, but we don't. 29,000 genes is what humans have. But the genes of a black person versus the genes of an Indian person versus the genes of an Aborigine. They're all the same. It's just they are being expressed differently. And the expression is purely a variation. So we're all shades of the same thing. There's no races. There are no races. We're all just shades of the same thing.
It's very helpful to know because I have often encountered this question. That's good.
Because obviously if you come from an area that you are in the tropical areas, you know, you are exposed, of course, you work in the fields, you need to be protected, absolutely, right. Because otherwise the damage of the sun underneath your skin is not going to be pretty. So you need to be protected. But it's very interesting that we all have the same number of cells. Yours are just more active than mine.
Thank you for explaining that. I appreciate it, Dr. Fernanda. I'm sorry, we are getting into some lengthy conversations, but I'm sure our audiences definitely will find this helpful. So this is an era, we say, of anti-aging technology.
Yeah.
And we use all kind of anti-aging products to look better compared to what your age is. So that's the effort of many out there. I wanted to ask you, why do we age? Even if we are using the latest anti-aging technology or products using these technologies.
Okay, well, we've got this subject is enough for about 100 podcasts. So when you have a sperm and when you have an ovum, at that point when the sperm and the ovum are being produced by our testicles or by our ovaries, at that point, there is a series of processes, mechanisms that prevent aging from happening. So there are a number of pathways linked to aging, and the ovum don't have them. They switched off. And they are switched off until the egg is made. So when the sperm enters the ovum, and forms an egg, fertilization is successful. At that point, the anti-aging process is now stopped, and the what we call growing is actually aging. So you're only not aging until the sperm and the ovum get together. From the time the baby or the embryo is implanted, So it's not that we, you know, and you say, oh, but kids aren't aging. Well, they are growing, they are maturing. Yes. So as we progress in our lives, of course, we develop, we evolve. While we are, you know, in your age group, we say that we're still young. In my age group, we say that we are old. It's just it's a process of evolution. But what is interesting? It seems like aging or the process of what we call aging is developed for a specific advantageous process. If you don't kick in these processes that lead to aging, that lead to the cells being less and less active and not looking as good as they are, the organs functioning less and less, if we don't have those processes, the chances of malignancies increase substantially. So ironically, aging is a form of preventing malignancies because malignancies would be out of control growth, which eventually will lead to death. So aging is a regulated mechanism to keep you healthy. So if you look at aging that way, then aging is not so bad.
Right.
So, and as you know, there are plenty of young people that die with malignancies quite young. That is, in their case, the regulatory malignant process went out of control so extensively that it overtook the advantages of having regulated aging, slowing down process. So, and there are plenty of groups, research groups, experimenting on the extending of life. And they do this in animal models, you know, and I'm not going to go into details here because it would take too long to explain it, but they have these animal models and sometimes they show that they can increase the lifespan by about 30% or 50% in these animal models that are, you know, very, very small animals. What happens often with those animal models is that although the lifespan is increased, sometimes there is evidence that the lifestyle of the animals is not as good as it was. So yes, you can increase lifespan, but maybe you won't be having as good lifestyle as you've had before. Now, there are lots of people that naturally live for a long time. And I mean, in India and Bangladesh, I'm sure they all know people that are very old, like over 100 years old. Yeah. And in Italy, and there are some people, I think it was Albania, were 125 years old or some, you know, some gross age like that. So there are people that can live longer, but also people that have a very balanced lifestyle. So if you have a very intense lifestyle, you are going to be using so much more energy that you are going to be limiting the potential for living very long.
Oh, okay.
Other thing is, if you want to live longer looking good, you have to look after yourself. So I don't mean to say you need to be a saint, not at all, but you need to have a balanced diet. You need to have good nutrition. You have to have good sleep. You have to make sure you look after yourself properly every day. Look after your skin every day. If you say, oh, you know, I'll just get Botox. Well, actually, Botox is not doing anything to your skin. Botox is just paralyzing the muscles under your skin. So, you know, you don't have wrinkles. But if you have Botox and you still don't use any cream on your skin will still age, will get thinner, and will still have the manifestations that it will normally have. So, yeah, we age because I don't think biologically anything is ever made to live forever.
Right.
But there's always balances, and it's all about the regulation. It's all about the regulation in the genes of those areas that we're non-coding, that with the junk DNA. There's a lot of control in there. But the main message is, if we don't have an aging process to stop this overwhelming a replication to get new cells all the time, we don't have a way to control malignancies. It's a balance between the two. Comes back to this balance.
Thank you so much, Dr. Fernanda, for explaining that. Really helpful. And I think a lot of food for thought. And for many audiences, like, they have questions about how the anti-aging process works or how that actually benefits our skin or when we should use that. So I think some of those questions you got answers by listening to what Dr. Fernanda mentioned.
If I can just add something here on anti-aging, we can have products that will ensure that there's some antioxidants in our skin to protect our skin. But nowadays, what's technologically happening is that you see products with gold encapsulating molecules to protect the molecules to get to the target cells to prevent collagen being degraded or elastin. Look, at the end of the day, you are going to have some form of aging.
Right.
Healthier to use natural ingredients. Do what you can to look after yourself. If you add these technologically more sophisticated components, Once they are in your skin, they have to go somewhere and they get cleared into your liver or into your kidneys and sometimes to your reproductive organs, because they are molecules that stick around. What we don't know is the long-term impact of having these extra molecules in our body. So I think it makes more sense to actually love the fact that, look, appreciate the fact that if you got to 60, that's great. Be as good as you can looking 60. You can't possibly be 60 and look like 20. It just doesn't look right. It's a privilege to get to 60, you know, because think about that. I always think of this, of the sort of, there's a very important saying around the young man that died in the First World War. When you celebrate Anzac Day in New Zealand, it's a very heavy day for New Zealand, Australia. Mm-hmm. A young man in 1914 went to fight in the First World War, thinking that it was an adventure. The way people remember those men that never came back is, they shall not die old. So they will die young because they will be mauled by war. So it's a privilege to be old because we didn't die young.
Oh, okay.
Very interesting. You know, think of everyone, young is beautiful. I think beauty is something that you need to change in your mindset. There's beauty about everything. An old tree is beautiful, just like a young tree is beautiful. A young kid is beautiful, but an old person is beautiful as well. Look at the way in which an old person talks to you and shows you things that you didn't know. So it's not about a physical beauty, but it's about an ethereal beauty that is part of who we are. Who are we to say that someone with a Japanese-looking feature is more beautiful than someone with an Indian-looking feature? They're all beautiful. They're just different. They're just different forms of the same. It's how people smile. When people smile, we can see the soul in their smile. And that's what beauty is about. Take cognizance that beauty is everything. Everything is beautiful, even ugly things. Why do we call them ugly? They're important. And if it's important for you, but not for somebody else, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Why do you feel that you have to agree with everyone? Do something that makes you feel good. If we all did that, there would be no wars.
For sure. I completely agree with you that for oneself to feel beautiful for how they are and how they look, how they represent themselves, everyone is beautiful. There is not a finite process to determine who is beautiful or who is not, just based on their appearances, the look or their skin, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It just, look, the skin is the thing we see the first, of course, but for goodness sake, we've got a brain that gives us the ability to see things, to think. So shouldn't we be looking at people beyond the skin? If we don't do that, we're just so limited. Don't limit yourself. Open yourself to who the person is.
For sure, for sure. Dr. Fernanda, I feel like I have so many wonderful questions left to ask, but we are already at the mark of over an hour.
No, look, we can always talk again some other time. And the other thing is, if your listeners have specific questions that you would like to talk about, email me and then we can do it some other time.
I would really love, Dr. Fernanda, because I still have some wonderful questions to ask you. We could do another part two of this episode.
Yeah, sure.
That would be wonderful and really appreciative of that, Dr. Fernanda. So, dear listeners, we still have to learn a bit more about health, lifestyle, and I have some wonderful questions about how mental health and environment is really impactful for your own lifestyle and health. I do encourage you, dear listeners, if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, anything specific you would like to know, please reach out to Dr. Fernanda. You can do that by going to our website, www.activeaction.fm, and just search Dr. Fernanda's name, and you will see there is a webpage over there that contains all her social links or the ways you can contact her. And I really wanted to talk to you, Dr. Fernanda, about the Azure list, because I think our listeners would really be interested in knowing that some amazing work that you do. But if it's okay with you, I would like to keep that for our...
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. No problem at all. As I said in, you know, as I say in our website, we don't sell you skin key. We key for your skin.
It's wonderful, because I did visit your website and I have seen the work that you have done. It's wonderful. And I really am certain that our listeners would really try out some of those products and get to know more about that. But in the meantime, dear listeners, if you do want to check out the website, www.azurelist.co.nz. For our listeners who are hearing that in the audio episode, it's www.azurelist.co.nz. Dr. Fernanda, thank you again for joining this podcast, and I'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you, Dr. Nazif. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been a pleasure to be here. Goodbye.
Take care, everyone. Stay active and take action. We'll meet you in the part two of this episode.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Oh, one more thing. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Get started for free. Visit our website, activeaction.fm/supporter, for more information. Take care, stay active, and take action.